Today on Code Pen Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's another episode of Code Pen Radio, number 55 to be exact. The name of this one is going to be Experts, which is, I think, is a really cool name. I can't remember who said it. We were driving around talking about topics the other day in our car, and it came up. I think it came up in the context of we recently finished up some work with a company called Percona. Maybe you've heard of them. Tim will tell you more about them lately. Again, Tim was the one who worked with them, who are experts in database stuff, and we needed some help. And we need some help from an expert because, I don't know, we just did. And it got us thinking about when do we do that as a company? This is not the first time we've reached out to ask people who are better at a certain thing than we are to help. And sometimes we do that through a formal hiring process. Sometimes it's just sitting down for coffee with somebody who knows more than we do, who we consider an expert in a field. We've done that a number of times. I'm sure you have too in your own businesses. It's pretty interesting to think about how many people who have helped you in that way, isn't it? So that's what the topic of this show is going to be. I have with me Alex Vasquez.
Hey there.
Expert. Alex Expert Vasquez.
That's what they call me.
Tim Expert Savitt.
I'm Tim Do Not Hire Me Savitt, actually.
but that's actually, now that I think about it, people have hired Tim a number of times. Tim moonlights occasionally as an expert in things.
Expert singer, that is.
He's a Barry White impersonator. again, thanks to Media Temple for sponsoring this one. I've said it before, but Media Temple hosts, you know, I have another podcast, Shop Talk Show. We host that on Media Temple. CSS Tricks has been on Media Temple since day one. It has never left there. That's a lot of years of that site. And the Code Pen blog we host on Media Temple. They've been hosting my sites. I find it very comfortable. I find it very well designed. I find it very well priced. I find their support good. They're all over Twitter. I just think it's a pretty darn good hosting company. In fact, they've been the choice for more designers, developers, and creative professionals than any other platform. Their Grid account, which is one of the many different hosting options they have, it's their least expensive one, but it's still pretty powerful. Hundreds of servers work together to keep your sites online, even if you suddenly hit the front page of Reddit, as they say. You know, like you get smashed with traffic, they kind of auto-scale for you. Pretty cool. You can put 100 sites on a single Grid account. So there's some value there. If you sign up for it or any other web hosting, use CP25 when you sign up for 25% off. Pretty cool. Thanks to Media Temple. Let's talk about experts. Again, this came up. I think we might hold off some of that database talk for its own whole episode because it was it's a funny thing. We're all sitting in the same room together again in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it just finished up. Like, it literally last night, Tim was upstairs working, and in fact, we had a little dinner party, and Tim had to excuse himself from it to sit and do database work, hair-raising, white-knuckle database work to get this going, and it just finished up, but it wasn't just Tim. It was Tim and someone from Percona, right?
Tim and an expert, which made things really, really simple. You know, he basically, it was our shortest cut ever, 8 minutes.
8 minutes, really good. So I think we'll do a whole episode on that because it's pretty interesting. It was about some of this AWS stuff getting off other AWS stuff onto a more managed AWS thing. Let's not dwell on it right now because we'll do a whole show on it. Maybe next week, maybe a little bit down the road. I don't know. But there's other, in that case, it was super formal. We called them or emailed them or something and gave them money.
Oh gosh, yeah. It was even more formal than that. Like, we dated two people before we committed to them. We contacted Percona, and we also contacted the MySQL consulting team. And I've got a little bit of a story about that process we can talk about later. There was some gyration in even who to choose.
Yeah, okay. So when you're hiring an expert, you might not just pick one out of a hat, and you might court them.
Yeah, or they court you, one or the other. Like, we put this thing out there. We were like, hey, we're interested in getting some database work done. We know specifically what we want. Can you contact us? And I guess in, like, the pointers down here, I'm talking about that. I talk about that in the sense that, like, go with your gut. We we got these two different bids or different quotes, and it was night and day, the difference in the sales tactics that, that one or the other used.
Was one gross?
One was not just gross. It was just, it was borderline incompetent, unfortunately. It was the MySQL team. Like their consulting team took a week and a half to get back with us, whereas Percona took a day. Basically, mm-hmm. someone had we received an email immediately and then a call within a day, whereas we received nothing from MySQL. And then like we got some call center person calling, and you could like hear all these other clickings in the background. They're like basically it was an offshore type operation. We had a little trouble understanding one another. He asked me general questions about like what we were trying to do so that he could link me up with somebody else.
Didn't feel good. Didn't feel like the kind of expert we were trying to hire. Not at all. To force that word into the sentence, but that's the case.
You know? No, yeah. It felt very, very, it felt like I was being sold something over the phone. Like you've won a trip to Barbados.
Right. And anytime, I feel like anytime we've hired an expert, the sales tactic, the initial meeting up with the expert before you've hired them is as nice as an expert is going to be. They're minding their P's and Q's. They're being as responsive as possible. And there's not always a sharp drop-off, but there's definitely a drop-off between meeting that person and attempting to hire them.
That's
and
really
then when
good.
You actually hire them, there's going to be some sort of drop-off. They just can't That's be funny. As responsive as they are during the sales process.
That's great. So do you hire like a contractor? They return your call right away, but then they – I mean, that's like an example, a cliche example of them sucking. But the bet – It's only going to go downhill. Nobody's going to take a week to return your call and then be amazing. When
yes,
you work
exactly.
Them.
So it's a huge red flag when you're hiring an expert and they're not initially responsive.
Yeah. So, I mean, that continued along the way. You know, the interview process was like Percona guys on day two or whatever had an engineer and a salesperson, and that was it. They were highly communicative and they were willing to work with us. The other guys, it took forever. And then I got on the phone with like 7 different people. It was like the craziest phone call I've ever been on. And I'm in the middle of explaining our problem and the guy stopped me. He's like, don't worry, we're experts in this thing. We do excellent job. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm not done describing what I need done. And you're telling me you're great. You know, it's just, it was definitely a weird difference between the two.
Okay, so we picked a better one and went with it, or where it wasn't particularly cheap, but that was a case in which we hired an expert through a fairly formal process, just a notch down from there, maybe equally as formal as is when you hire a contractor or freelancer to help you out with something. So again, we're a 3-person team, and we have just, as you've heard in the last few episodes, have gotten around to funding. We're like, we should put some of that to work. And in fact, we may have hired someone like this that I'm about to describe in any way, because it's not like we had no money before we had funding. We occasionally hire people to do work for us anyway. What I'm talking about, though, is so... remember David DeSandro? He's the only guest we've ever had on the show.
Only one ever.
Well, because he's interesting. Yeah. He works on this. He has this company called Metaphysi, and he uses CodePen to show people demo a lot and do support a lot and use it for documentation and stuff. And I just think David is a super interesting guy. So he's kind of known for really, you know, making little widgets and products and stuff that have really good, like, physics and touch support, and he's just clearly really good at JavaScript. He's worked for some big cool places that clearly valued his skills, and I just like David and think he does good work. And I was thinking of our editor and the interactive experiences that happen in the editor and how I've never been particularly happy with them. Like sometimes some of the work I do is like, that's fine. Fine is about as good of a designer and interactive designer as I think I get. I pretty much cap out at acceptable. And I was like, you know what? That's not where I want to be anywhere. I'd like to hire an expert to really help with this, especially that interaction, because it's so core and fundamental to how CodePen works and how people feel about it. Again, you know, it's not a problem, but I'm thinking of things like how you can drag to resize a lot of stuff in the CodePen editor. You can turn on and off editors. You can do that stuff, and it largely works. And I don't absolutely hate it, but it's not like buttery smooth. It's not like as efficient as it could be. It has a number of dependencies to make that happen. I've tried to think through edge cases about how it kind of works and stuff. Occasionally there is bugs with it and stuff. It's not as amazing of code as I would like it to be. And I've rewritten it like 3 times at least. you know, trying to make sure that I never get like scared of that section of the code. I always want to feel like I'm one with it. Still, never quite loved it. And I was thinking of David and I was thinking of the editor one day and I had put it on a list. I think I opened up a GitHub issue. This is like, maybe we should hire David to do it. And, it, you know, and as we came closer and closer to getting our round of funding, I was like, I'm just going to shoot him an email quick to see if he's into it. He totally was into it. And he turns out to have some time. I mean, he runs his own business and stuff, but he's very professional expert in this. And I just signed a document with him. He sent us over some stuff about, you know, this is how many hours a week I have to put into it. This is how I'm going to bill you. This is a promise from what I promise you. This is what you promise me. Very kind of a cool thing. And he's going to be starting with us next week on that, on let's make this editor as awesome as it can be. As a contractor. So that's also a very kind of formal way to talk to an expert, is just to hire one and then try and do a good job. So we've reached out to database experts. We're reaching out to UI and JavaScript experts to help us with thing and see where we can go. And then there's less formal ones. Haven't we, remember when we were reached out to Brent or whatever about stuff? Is that an example of a less formal one?
Yeah, I mean, we have several friends in the industry, and one of the things that we reached out to Brent about is as far as getting advice on what lawyers to get. We actually ended up going with his recommendation, but other things that we've reached out to him. Brent is a person in our life that we trust for everything business related.
And we worked with him at SurveyMonkey. He was like a business.
He's like a VP at SurveyMonkey. He's pretty high up
there. Yeah, yeah. He's a vice president there. And so he's somebody who's really knowledgeable. He actually helped SurveyMonkey acquire Wufoo. And he's always just been a really great guy. So we've reached out to him on several occasions. Pretty much any time that we have like a really big business decision, we'll reach out to him. And he's been great. You know, he's the one who confirms with us, hey, we've got the terms of the deal and, you know, what's your general opinion on this? He doesn't review legal documents or anything, but we still consider him an expert on, you know, what we should or shouldn't do as a business overall.
Yeah, he did a bit of a gut check for us, basically. We ran the general terms of the thing by him, and he was like, yeah, go for it. Sounds great. Good to try. And not only that, did he said, you trust the investors, and it seems like the right time to do it, and you've got plans for the money. He was... Yeah, that just kind of like reconfirmed how we felt about the deal.
And he's done it. He's seen it happen way more times. So in our eyes, he's absolutely an expert in this. If he needed advice on, I don't know, which database schema to use for some other startup or something, we might have been an expert in his eyes.
Yeah,
so sure. It can kind of go both ways, and hopefully it will someday. I mean, I doubt he needs our help immediately, but. I don't think we gave him any money for that. It was kind of a coffee situation. Sorry, Brent, if we owe you some money, feel free to really hit us up. But usually it doesn't happen. Usually stuff like that is a little bit more, you know, do nice things to other people. Hopefully it comes around for you kind of thing. I don't think every single interaction with an expert is necessarily a paid thing. I remember I had some friends in the music business. There's this guy. I guess I can talk crap about him because I really could care less. There's a bluegrass band called Hot Rise, and the banjo player for him is Pete Wernick, I think that's his name, and they used to call him Dr. Banjo or something, whatever, but like maybe this is urban legend too, so maybe I'm spreading some bad stuff, but some guy went over with like a six pack, and I forget if it was my buddy or if it was a buddy's buddy or whatever, and talked to him, was like, hey, I'm starting a band too, you mind if I talk about your experience in Hot Rise and stuff? And they sat around and they picked banjos and talked for a little bit and then took off and drank some beers and stuff, and then Pete sent him a bill.
Oh, wow.
For his time. For his advice and time. Amazing.
I am doing that from now on. You guys do not expect free lunches with me. It's over.
So sorry if that, inspiring. But even if that's urban legend, maybe I shouldn't have named names like that, but it just seemed like a funny experience of like, don't do that, you know, like, or at least set expectations a lot stronger. You know, I don't think anybody expects to get a bill for beers or coffee or anything. And if it's, you know, if they're actually doing some work for you, then formalize it. Yeah, in a way. We had, you know, other SurveyMonkey people. Kareem was a recruiter there. And when we were working on our job board stuff, we asked him, like, hey, what would be useful to your job? Are we doing smart things? Is there other smart things we can do? That's the same kind of situation. We're just gut checking, asking for help.
Yeah, he was pretty useful. And we did. I think we ended up giving them job coupons, which was like the most we could give at the time in terms of that. So, yeah, I think it's hiring experts can be, I mean, I guess it's not hiring experts, but working with experts. It's like either a formal thing that you're defining scope and timelines for, or it's like a, you know, friendly thing. Like let's share our knowledge, please.
And then the least possible format is just to, I mean, you can email these people. This could be a Twitter conversation. I mean, I think expert advice exchange probably happens all the time over Twitter, you know?
Oh, that's great. Actually, remember when we were trying to do Docker and we started that whole conversation around the gist? That was pretty useful. There was like a bunch of guys that were like kind of weighing in on this like idea that I had for securing our Docker containers. And it ended up going back and forth quite a bit on Twitter and then also in a thread. And that's an example of, you know, just the general internet helping out for the general good. It was fantastic. I got tons of leads from that.
Totally. And that, you know, people know what kind of tech you have and are interested in that, you know, Docker's new-ish kind of thing. I know that Laura Frank is in Chicago. We talked about Docker a little bit, not in an advice kind of way, but now I have her in my kind of mental Rolodex of people who I could ask Docker questions to, or I could, you know, I could connect Tim with if we had a weird question, because she seems to talk and know a lot about it. So it's kind of, well, you know, nice. I think that's maybe one of the things I bring to the Code Pen table is that I am our designer that brings things up to that hot level of fine. and I can do CSS and some JavaScript and stuff, but also I do quite a bit of the handshaking stuff. I do like to connect people and connect other people to other people and other people to us in a case, and that can be pretty darn valuable. So let's see, who else have we leaned on? It'd be interesting to hear what people listening to this show, what do you consider, like how often do you all out there, I know you can't talk back because this is an MP3.
We're waiting. We're waiting.
You could in the comments. How often do you do it? Is there a possibility of doing it too much? I think that is the, like when you're green, you might be reaching out to experts almost more than working. And is that good or bad?
I mean, that does bring up the topic that you can take it a little bit too far. And I think that like we had a guy that we worked with DBA, who was a DBA, and he like volunteered his time a lot. And it got to the point where we leaned pretty heavily on him, to the point where it was probably, we thought it was a better idea to actually hire an expert, because it got to the point where like at one time he helped us with a database cutover while he was on vacation in Greece or something like that. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, Jason, you're just doing too much, man. Like you're helping us out too much. And as much as I appreciated that, there's a point where like the goodwill is going to end, you know? And so rather than have that thing go sour, we like our next round of DB stuff, we hired out consultants to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to tap the goodwill juice too much.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's not goodwill, you're paying money for this. Like we alluded to, you know, David is a very skilled person who charges a fair rate for his work, not particularly inexpensive. Of course, neither is Percona. You're talking about, I mean, Alex wrote in the notes, if you're dealing with any kind of expert in this specific tech niche world, you're paying at least $100 an hour, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, our lawyer was $225 an hour or something like that. Like,
yeah, definitely. And I mean, yet our lawyer has been excellent.
This
Percona has been excellent. I can only imagine that Dave DeSandro is going to be excellent, and you end up paying top dollar for those people, but because they're experts, they're really worth it. And so it's, if you're a small startup, if you're starting up, you're maybe bootstrapped or you've gotten just a little bit of funding, you pick and choose your spots. But when you hire those experts, they're well worth the amount of money that they ask for. Pay them well, take advantage of their skills, and you know, just make sure that you're getting
a contract. Because if they don't, then it's short lived.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the contract. The contract's kind of like vital, I guess, but the more importantly, like if they're charging that amount and you're dissatisfied, bring it up, because that's another thing too. You shouldn't be charged $225 an hour and have a terrible experience. That is top of the market, you know?
It really is. I mean, imagine if somebody says, okay, I'm $200 an hour and I'm going to work for you for 20 hours a week and there's 4 weeks in a month and I'll bill you at the end of that month. That's a $16,000 bill. You better get some business value out of that. Maybe there's some businesses that can turn that around. But if we did too much of that, that would be dumb, you know, and you didn't get anything out of it. You better hope that, but isn't that the kind of the promise of an expert though, is you're getting mad value out of it.
Hopefully.
Oh, pretty interesting. It should always be contractual. I would definitely not be in the $100 an hour range. I wouldn't be shaking any hands. You can shake hands if you want.
but after you sign the contract. Yeah. Yeah, I think that like the contract's pretty important, just so that nobody at the end of the thing feels kind of like screwed, I guess. There should be a scope. It should be well-defined. There should be a timeline. You should have a start and stop time. And then you should decide on the money up front. Like, don't let your hourly rate just continue off into forever. If the guy's charging an hourly rate or gal and you don't know how far along that's going to go, say, we're going to do an hourly rate up to this maximum, and then we're going to review the work that's gone so far. Just don't let something run away on you. That's all.
Yeah, you shouldn't, you know, I guess you wrote here, don't be shocked by pricing. I mean, that's not, you know, that you should have that in mind.
Right. And a lot of times, I mean, the contract is the time to put in a ton of effort about what you're going to receive in exchange. I mean, if they're going to provide like a statement of work or an actual detailed result of what they're going to give you, it's great because it clarifies everything. And if you know upfront what you expect from that person knows what they to deliver for you and your company. It clarifies everything and makes everything very smooth. I think initially when we hired Percona, there was a little confusion about what they were going to deliver and what they weren't going to deliver. And clearing that up was super helpful. And then after that, we were able to just move forward with the actual database migration we wanted.
Yeah, it was smooth sailing. I mean, the best probably example of contracting obviously is going to be the lawyer. But what a lawyer does is take a retainer. They estimate how much time it's going to take. They take an amount of money in advance from you, and then every month from that lawyer, you get a bill, an itemized bill, literally breaking it down by the hour into what they've done and the amount, like your balance basically on your retainer. And that's been pretty nice to know how far along we are. And like as this month, as the months have gone by with the lawyer, we're paying down that retainer, but we're actually going to end up with some money back. So like if you can think about working with a freelancer that way, if you pay them an amount upfront, but you get them to like itemize their sort of hourly stuff, like what's been accomplished. If at the end of the contract it's below that, maybe you should get some money back, as we're getting with the as we're getting with the lawyer.
Yeah, the retainer concept is pretty unique to lawyers.
Is that? I didn't know.
I actually don't know that.
I've never heard it mentioned otherwise.
Sure, I've never heard of a front-end web developer saying, you know, working in that way, like, hey, cool website, here's some money back. I didn't use it all.
I've worked 100 hours in the last week.
But it makes sense. Yeah. I guess we could end it with thinking about the friend thing. And we've done this a few times. Mostly it's worked out well. But as Tim was saying, you know, don't overuse the friend pipeline too much. But for other reasons as well, right? Like, I don't know if your experts should always be your friends. The advantage being that they're usually free. And the danger being that you might lose a friend.
Yeah, I mean, only that, like, you just don't want to test that. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't enter into a contract with your brother or your mom. You know, you want to be friendly and stuff. But if your brother and your mom started overcharging you, that would kind of put a strain on things. So don't hire your brother or your mom.
Changes the old dynamic a bit, the nature of your relationship, which if you're prepared for, fine, you know. I don't need friends. I need database queries.
That's all I need.
Just this one thing.
I guess we can tell you how generally the more formal of the contracts for us have worked out very well. Maybe we'll do some postmortem on some other experts that we've hired in the future. And thanks for listening to CodePen Radio. We have lots of more deliciously business and techie nerdy podcasts lined up for the future. And the reason that we're so, you know, on the ball releasing these every week is because now we have a sponsor, at least, and we're selling them through our ad selling expert syndicate ads. So I guess we can probably link to that somewhere. But they're an ad selling network that does a good job for us, who lined up this Media Temple sponsorship. So thanks so much to Media Temple for being a pretty darn good hosting company who's done right by us over time. Remember to use that coupon code CP25 for 25% off Media Temple hosting at MediaTemple.com. codepimpro.net. You know, sign up for a CodePen Pro account. I don't know. Tell us what we could do better. I don't know. Be cool. Until next time, everyone.
Thanks, Joe.
Farewell.
Bye, everybody.
7 1 3 2 9 7 6 0 3 1 8 6